Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 17 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Hey. You can estimate almost halfway down the Daf. You'll notice a bow tie shape with a little base in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara column. This is the point from which we're picking up. Now, I must say, by way of disclaimer, that we are really picking up in the middle of a discussion that we left off with in our last shiur, so that to really be able to get into this discussion, one would have to have heard the latter part of our previous shiur. So, by way of recap, there isn't too much for me to add other than to pick up from where we left off in the previous shiur. What can be said, though, is we saw Shitas Rav Nachman, who spoke about Shabbos having the power to be koveya, koveya means to establish that one cannot eat from untied fruits, even achilas aroi, even on fruits that did not experience a gemar malacha. So that Shabbos, according to Rav Nachman, has very extensive powers in that sense. And that was Rav Nachman's point. Marzutra, the son of Rav Nachman, Marzutra Breid Rav Nachman, we saw in our previous shiur, attempted to bring a proof to his father from our Mishnah. The attempt was featured in the first bow tie, which was on Lamed Dalid Omid Beis, and that attempt failed. So we pick up now with the second attempt, Toshma Misefa. Let us prove Rav Nachman's point from the latter part of the Mishnah. V'chachomim omrim ad sheyirshoim v'yoymar mikan v'ad kan. This has to do with preparing from before Shabbos the figs and date and raisins that he intends to take from the mukzeh. According to the Tanakhama, it was enough to simply say mikan ani notel, and that just a verbal statement. And we explained in our previous year that functions based on the principle of Breira, that when you on Shabbos do pick out figs and raisins from the Muktzeh, we say retroactively these were the ones that you had intended. The Chachamim in this quote say no, you have to physically mark off a section of the Muktzeh and push them aside and say from these I will take tomorrow. So there is essentially no machlokes between the Tanakam and Chumam other than whether or not you accept Breira. And the Mishnah spoke about taking of these figs and raisins on Erev Shabbos of a Shemitah year when there is no Chiyuv Hafrosha. So this is all that you have to do by way of preparation. There's no Chiyuv of tithing on the Shemitah. There's no obligation to tithe. So the Gemara continues, Taimo de'erev Shabbos b'shvias. The reason that this kind of preparation works and you'll be able to eat the fruits the next day is because we're talking about a declaration made on Friday during a Shemitah year, Delav Bar Asuri Hu. It's a time when there are no tithings that need to be taken. Ha b'shar shnei shavua. However, other years of the 7-year agricultural cycle, years 1 through 6, each one of those years has a tithe requirement. Dibnei asurimenu. Those are years where they are obligated in tithing. Asurim, the fruits will be usur. Even though you make a declaration, I plan to take from these fruits tomorrow on Shabbos, you still won't be able to use them. My taima, why is that? Lav mishum, is it not because the Shabbos kov'a, that Shabbos establishes the fruits, even though they are not yet nigmar malachton, even though they haven't become fully dried yet. Nevertheless, you won't be able to take from those fruits on Shabbos because they haven't been tithed. Well, what made them obligated in being tithed? After all, they were lo nigmar malachton, so it is because Shabbos set in. So what do we see from here? We see that Shabbos is koveya even for fruit shelo nigmar malachton, just like Rav Nachman. So this is what Mar Zucher was seeking out, and here he's got a nice proof. Lo, the Gemara rejects this. And the same house marking as we saw in our previous shiur, identifies the rejection. Shiny hasam, the seifa is different. The seifa is not reflective of the din of Rav Nachman. Came from the Omar, since there was a verbal announcement, mikan viadkan ani oichel amochar, from this point until this point in the mukta, in that section set aside for fruit drying, he declared, I am going to eat, take from here these fruits, kova le. That is what establishes the prohibition of continued eating until tithing. If that's the case, that it's a function of the verbal declaration and not something unique to Shabbos, so my Yiriyah Shabbos, why does the Mishnah speak about Shabbos? What does the Mishnah have to gain by featuring a case of Shabbos? Afilu b'choyol nami, even during any weekday. Once you have a verbal declaration, a verbal announcement that from here I will take, that's it. You can no longer continue eating, even achilas aroi, because the verbal announcement establishes the tithe obligation. So the Gemara says, you're right. It could have been b'chol as well. Ha komash malon, the Mishnah, by teaching the case of Shabbos, reveals to us a side point, and this too we saw in our previous shiur, and the side point is the Tevel Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos. That Tevel, which is a term referring to untithed food, and on untithed food you might say, well, you can't eat it, it's something that's muktzeh. You can't partake of it at all. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that Tevel is not considered muktzeh. It's muchan hu eitzel Shabbos, shim ovar v'tikno mesukan. If someone would come along and tithe, even though tithing is prohibited on Shabbos, but if someone went and violated the law and did perform the tithe from those fruits, you would be allowed to eat of them, to partake of them. And that reflects the idea of tevel being muchan. It's considered prepared. It's considered something you have access to, even though there is a prohibition of tithing. So that point is conveyed or is hinted to by the fact that the Mishnah features a case of Shabbos. The Gemara now continues with a question, which in effect raises a contradiction within the Tana Rebbe Eliezer. Up till now, we understood that according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, certainly according to Rav Nachman's approach in the Gemara, the Tana Rebbe Eliezer told us that Shabbos is koveya. Truth is that I don't think we have to emphasize Rav Nachman. We can simply say that the Gemara itself had said that according to Rebbe Eliezer, Shabbos, just like we saw his halacha by Hafrosh of Truma in our previous shiur, Truma is koveya. Once you tithe something, that itself is koveya it as something that's chayev in hafroshes, even if it's lo nigmar malachton, and that we saw at the very end of our previous year. In other words, just before the toshma that we picked up from today, we saw shitas Rebbe Eliezer, a special shita that tithing fruits that are lo nigmar malachton and Shabbos as well are koveya. Even though lo nigmalach, so let's go over that point. According to Rebbe Eliezer, we have been led to believe that if you tithe fruits, we'll call it prematurely, but you did, you tithe them before nigmar malachtan, before they reach their final stage in processing, as well as Shabbos, those are koiveya, which means you can't continue eating achilas aroi, even in a snacking form, until you actually tithe. So now let's continue with a source that will contradict that. Viromini, hoya oichel be'eshkol. He was eating a cluster of grapes. Now, your standard cluster of grapes is considered loy nigmar malachto. Standard grapes are used for wine production. So eating from a cluster of grapes is eating from something that's lo nigmar malachto. Venichnas migino lechotzer. And he went from the gina, from his garden, from where he harvested this cluster, to his courtyard. Reb Elezer omer yigmar. Rabbi Lezer says you can continue eating because the concept of a chotzer being koiveya, a chotzer is being an establishing point from which you have to tithe. That is true only for something that's nigmar malachto, but something that hasn't reached its final stage of processing. So according to Rabbi Lezer, chotzer is not koiveya dover shalom nigmar malachto. Rabbi Yeshua omer lo yigmar. Rabbi Yeshua says nope, you went into the chotzer with the cluster of grapes. He holds that a chotzer is koiveya even something that's lo nigmar malachto. Choshcha b'leile Shabbos. That's Friday night. Shabbos sets in. Rabbi Lezer omer yigmor. Rabbi Yeshua omer lo yigmor. Well, you see here very clearly, Rabbi Lezer says you can continue eating. Did we not say earlier that according to the Tana Rabbi Lezer, if it weren't for the Shemitah year, the other 6 years, you cannot continue eating because according to the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, Shabbos is koiveya even for Dover Shalom Nigmar Malachto. And yet here you see, Rebbe Eliezer says yigmor, you can continue eating even though it hasn't been tithed yet and even though Shabbos has set in. So at this point we have a contradiction to that which Rebbe Eliezer had said before. The Gemara answers, Hosam kidiktoni taimo. There we have a reason that is taught. And here it is, Rabbi Nosson Omer. Lo kishom Rabbi Lezer yigmar, bechotzer yigmar, elo yotze chutz lechotzer yigmar. When Rabbi Lezer said regarding the chotzer that you can continue eating, he doesn't mean stay in the chotzer and continue eating. No, you have to leave the chotzer and continue your eating. Lo kishomar yigmar, Shabbos yigmar. And likewise, when he said regarding the case of Shabbos that you are allowed to finish the cluster without tithing, he didn't mean on Shabbos. Elo mamtin lemotzoi Shabbos v'yigmar. You can continue eating, but only after Shabbos, because as far as Shabbos itself is concerned, Shabbos is koiveya a chiyuv hafrosha, even on a dover shalo nigmar malachto, as Rebbe Lezer said before. This source that says gave us the impression that it's not koveya, meaning that you are able to continue eating, that's only true with regard to motzoi Shabbos, Saturday night after Shabbos departs. But as far as Shabbos itself is concerned, Shabbos, according to Rabbi Lezer, is koveya dovar shalo nigmar malachtoi. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see some double underlining and some additional marking. So on the side of the Gemara, you notice we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where we've written the following. You see a double underline and a diamond. These are Arba Dvorim Shelefi Rabbi Yochanan. There are four examples. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Koivim Rak B'Dover Shenigmar Malachtoi. They will be koiveya only if the fruits have reached their final stage of processing. B'chol echod me'elu, in each one of these examples, Rabbi Yochanan bo la'afuke mideya cholekes betanoim. So Rabbi Yochanan features four cases, and Rabbi Yochanan has an agenda here. He's trying to make his point to the exclusion of certain Tanaic opinions that hold otherwise. So Rabbi Yochanan is trying to settle these matters by saying, follow my way of thinking and not the way of thinking of the Tanoim that will be presented along the way. If that sounds a little bit vague, hopefully it will be, make it clear as we go on. Ki also Ravin Omer Rabbi Yochanan. When Ravin came, he quotes, he told us that Rabbi Yochanan says, Echot Shabbos, Vechot Truma, Vechot Chotzer, Vechot Mekach. Well, three of these examples we've seen already. The onset of Shabbos, Truma is a reference to tithing fruits, and Chotzer is the entrance into a closed courtyard, and a Mekach is a transaction. Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Im Mochron Lechaveroi Koidem Gemar Malocha. If a person sold fruits to his friend before they reached their final stage of processing. We got an example before, clusters of grapes. Clusters of grapes, we said their final stage of processing is when they're made into wine. So prior to that, they haven't reached their Gemar Malocha. And yet you sold clusters of grapes as grapes. Lo amrinon achshavinu b'hochi. We don't say that this raises their level of importance, the fact that they were part of a transaction, and as a result of that, you can no longer continue eating from them without tithing. We don't say that. But it's the richolei, the Rabbi Yochanan, ashminun, Rabbi Yochanan has to tell us this, mishum di'iko leman di'omar kova, kidelekamon, because there is a Tana that says that a transaction of untithed fruits is koivea them to restrict any further eating, even if they have not experienced gemar malocha. So now we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says, we're reading the Gemara four lines from the bottom, Kulon ein koivin, ela v'dover shenigmar malachton. Each one of these elements, Shabbos and Truma, Chotzer and Mekach, are koivea only if the fruits in question have experienced Gemar Malocha. Shabbos, that Rabbi Yochanan has to tell me about Shabbos, this is la'afuke mide Hillel, to the exclusion of the opinion of Hillel. Now Hillel has an opinion, but we have to note ahead of time that he is opposed by other chachomim, and it's as a result of that that Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, Hillel has his opinion that Shabbos is koivea even on something shelo nigmar malachto, but we don't follow that. So let's see what the source that has Hillel in it says. The Sanya. Hamavir peros mimokim lemokom. Liktsor. Vekidesh lemayom. Someone is transferring fruits, peros, from one location to another, he's moving the fruits mimokum lemokum. The text that we have says liktsor. I don't know if that makes any sense, but the Hagois Hagro, the Vilna Goins Hago, or his Girsa on the Tosefta makes much more sense, where he reads liktsiois. If the text here would read liktsos, it would also make more sense. Instead of having a resh, maybe one will find other girsos in other sources. But as the word itself means to harvest, so it doesn't make any sense, one who's moving fruits from one place to another to harvest. But if it means liktsios, it means to dry out. So you have someone who is moving fruits from one place to another for the purpose of having them dry out. Now that's very telling, because that indicates we're dealing with fruits that have not experienced Gemar Malocha yet. V'kidesh lem hayom, that's an expression meaning and Shabbos set in. Amrav Yehuda, Hillel le'atzmoy oiser. Hillel, by himself, forbids any eating from them. And why? Because Shabbos has set in. Shabbos is koiveya. Shabbos establishes that you can no longer continue eating from them without them having been tithed. And on Shabbos you can't tithe, so you can't eat from them. Now, the expression here says Hillel Latzmo, himself, indicating that the rest of his generation disagrees. And that is the basis for Rabbi Yochanan. And as we said before, Rabbi Yochanan's point was la'afuke, to the exclusion of Hillel. Now, as you can see with the marking, the diamond features the case that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned in his list, and the triangle indicates what Rabbi Yochanan is coming to exclude. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. The next case, Chotzer. This was the second case that Rabbi Yochanan had in his list, that if you actually, technically speaking, it's the third case in the list of, that Rabbi Yochanan has, but it's featured here, this number two in the Gemara's discussion. Chotzer, fruits that are brought into a courtyard. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the courtyard does not establish them as requiring tithing unless the fruits brought into the courtyard have experienced gemar malocha, have reached their final stage in processing. This idea is lafuki mid Rabbi Yankiv, to the exclusion of Rabbi Yankiv's opinion that holds that a chotzer will be koivea even for something that it has not had gemar malocha. By the way, noticing the girsa here in this source, desnan, let's read on, desnan hamavir te'enim b'chatzero liktsos. Notice here, you have it spelled with a suf at the end, and that was my suggestion for the text, the second line from the bottom of Amud Aleph, which deals with the same scenario of moving fruits from one place to another. Here he's moving them through his chotzer to dry out. So I suspect that the word at the second line from the bottom on Lamed Hem Aleph also really should have read Liktsos. Nevertheless, he is bringing fruits to his chotzer for drying out. So what are we dealing with? We're dealing with fruits that haven't reached their gemar malocha. They are being brought there to dry out. They haven't dried out yet. So they haven't experienced their final stage in processing. So the Tanakhama says that his household, his children, and his other members of his house can eat from these figs in a snacking fashion without having to tithe. V'toni Allah, and it's taught regarding this, Rabbi Yankiv Mechayiv, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Poter. We emphasize Rabbi Yankiv. He says that it's chayiv to be tithed, and that achilas aroi would not be allowed. A sort of snacking form of eating would not be allowed. Why? Because Rabbi Yankiv holds that the chotzer is koivea even on something shelo nigmar malachtoi. And Rabbi Yochanan is, in this sugya, is coming to exclude his approach. Truma la'afuke mid Rabbi Eliezer. And this we saw at the end of our previous shiur. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that the fact that you tithe fruits, albeit prematurely, but you tithed them, you can no longer continue. Tithe them is not an accurate expression. You separated the truma from them. Truma is the first of the series of tithes that have to be separated from fruits. So once you remove the truma from them, you can no longer continue eating from them until you remove all the tithes, which in the six years of the 7 year Shemitah cycle after Truma's tithe. So if it's the first, second, fourth, or fifth years, you have to take off Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni. And the Levi, of course, removes Truma's Meiser from the Meiser Rishon that he receives. All of this will be binding, even though the fruits have not experienced Gemar Malocha. Once again, only by virtue of the fact, according to the Tana Rabbi Lezer, that you remove the Truma Gedola. So Rabbi Yochanan says not to follow that, but rather Truma, the fact that you remove Truma from fruits, is koivea for the rest of the hafroshes only if the fruits did experience gemar malocha. So the Gemara explains, Truma lafukim Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Yochanan's citation of Truma is to the exclusion of Rabbi Lezer's approach, desnan peros shetarmon, ad shelo nigmar malachton. fruits from whom you removed the truma tithe. The truma tithe goes is 2% that goes to the kohen. Once you remove that, even if the fruits have not experienced gemar melacha, Reb Elazar oser lechom emaroi v'chachom ematir. Reb Elazar says you cannot continue eating from them, even in a snacking fashion, that's achilas aroi, until you remove the other tithes. And the chachamim are matir. They say that since it hasn't experienced gemar melacha, so the fact that you remove truma at this early or premature stage does not restrict continued achilas aroi. And that is the opinion that Rabbi Yochanan is adopting. Mekach. Now here we have a very helpful brackets. The brackets help us to maintain the same style of reading that we've seen till now. So if you skip the brackets, you come to the triangle. And till now you can see how we've had the diamond, which features the case Rabbi Yochanan cites, and the triangle following it immediately. So with the brackets you can do the same thing. Namely, that mekach, Rabbi Yochanan says, is not koiveya unless the fruits have been, the fruits that were sold, that were transacted, experienced gemar melacha. And that idea is ulafuke, notice how we skip the brackets, ulafuke meha desnan, to the exclusion of that which is taught in this source, where you will see that mekach is koveya on a dover shalo nigmar malachto. We'll explain that when we get to it. But that skipping was just to show you how the we can maintain the style of the Gemara that we've been doing till now. However, in the brackets, the Gemara gives us the background to the din of Mekach and its power to be koveya. Mekach kidesanya halokech te'enim me'am oretz. Now, your basic te'enim, stam te'enim, is lo nigmar malachton. The te'enim are usually grown for drying them out, to make grogros and fig cakes out of them, pressed figs. The te'enim spoken about here are fresh figs. So one who buys fresh figs from an amor, it's from someone who is not knowledgeable, many of whom do not practice all of the tithing that they're supposed to do. So if you buy te'enim from Amoretz, b'mokim shiroiv b'nei odem dorsin, in a locale where most people press the figs after they're dried out, and here they haven't dried out yet, oichel mehen aroi u'ma'asron demai, you can continue eating from them without having to tithe them. The fact that you bought them, the mekach is not koivea. The mekach does not cause the fruits to be restricted in achila saroi because they were part of a transaction. Uma asron demai. And when it comes time to mafrish maisers from them, the tithe that's given to the Levi, so then you would tithe them as you would tithe any fruits that you buy from Amoretz, which is a tithe of Demai. Demai is a tithe that we do out of a suffek. It's a chiv de rabbonon, because min ha-Torah rov Amoretz master, and the Gemara will point that out. Shma mino atlas. From this source, we learn several things. Shma mino mekach eino koivas elo bedover shenigmar malachto. That's like Rabbi Yochanan. In this source, you can see that a mekach, a transaction, does not koivea, doesn't establish the tithe obligation unless the fruits transacted experienced gemar melacha. In this source, we saw that even though they were transacted, you are able to continue eating from them without having to worry about tithing. Another point, Ushma mino, roiv ame ha'oretz ma'asrin hein. From the fact that it says here that when it comes time to remove the maisris, that to do the maiser tithe which is given to the Levi, and you are to tithe the maisris only on a Demai level, and we said before, Demai means on a rabbinic level, it shows us that from the Torah standpoint, the majority Amiorts do set aside the Miser tithe as well. It means as well as in addition to Truma, which Amiorts definitely tithe, they rove, the majority tithe the Miser Rishon tithe as well. Ushma mino ma'asrin demai me'amaretz afilu b'davar shelo nigmara malachtoi. We have to make a correction in that which we said before. It's a bit of a detail, but we mentioned in this when we translated the source, we said ma'asrin demai. We indicated that when the time comes for being mafrish, the hafroshes, the tithes. But here we are, in fact, talking about those people who practice tithing before the Gemar Malacha. Well, for those who practice tithing before the Gemar Malacha, the obligation is only on a rabbinic level, a suffix. There's a suffix. But rove, but the majority of Amoratsim do tithe. And this third Shema Mino is saying that when you are tithing, the Demai tithe, which is the Drabonon tithe that you take, it can be taken even from something that's lo nigmara malachtoi. Rashi, you can see on the fourth line from the top, at the end of the line, it says, Ma'asron demai kishibol asron, when he comes to tithe these fruits, Ma'asron demai kedin kol haloichem me'amoretz, like is the halacha regarding any purchases from the ignoramuses. She'ein tzorch lafrish, truma delo chashibi alo. There's no need to do the truma tithe, which is the 2% that's given to a kohen. They, the amoratzim, are not suspect in not having tithed that. The lo aminon, and we don't say hani vadai loy maasri the koidem gemar malacha lo asri namoretz. You don't say that these figs have definitely not been tithed because I'm getting them before their gemar malacha. The kosover haytana, this tana is of the opinion yesh shema asrim koidem gemar malacha. There are those that do tithe even before the Gemar Malacha, umido hanoheges he, and it seems to be a common practice, v'talinon bei l'kula, and we rely on that common practice to rule leniently. And therefore, what's the lenient ruling? That when you come to tithe, you're tithing only on a demai level. Demai level means only on a rabbinic level. Because when we speak about those people, and we're talking about Amoratsim, that practice the Miser tithes, they will take off the Miser tithe even before it's Gemar Malacha. Let us not get too mired in details. The first of these three Shema Minos states that Mekach is not Koivea unless it is Gemar Malacha. That is what Rabbi Yochanan said. Ula afuke meha desnan. That which Rabbi Yochanan features mekach as not being koivea unless it's nigmar malachto is to the exclusion of that which we see in the following Tanaic source. Hamachlif perosim chavero. One barters fruits with his friend, and bartering machlif is to exchange. This is a form of mekach. It's a transaction. So Mr. A gives some fruits to Mr. B, and Mr. B gives some of his fruits to Mr. A. Ze le'echol v'ze le'echol. Each one intends to eat that which he receives. Ze liktzos v'ze liktzos. Or, each person intends to dry out the fruits that he receives. Ze le'echol v'ze liktzos. Or, a case where one party intends to eat the fruits and the other party intends to set them aside for drying out. Chayov. In all of these cases, you cannot eat from the fruits unless you tithe. Now, we're talking about fruits that are being set aside for what? For drying out. That means they haven't experienced Gemar Malacha. And yet it says Chayov. that you cannot continue eating from them until you tithe. So this is the opinion Rabbi Yochanan was coming to counter, to exclude. Because this opinion is saying that even though they haven't experienced Gemar Malach, the fact that the fruits were part of a transaction, that is koivea. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lechol chayov liktsois poter. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the transaction is for eating, that means you have reached their Gemar Malacha, because you're going to eat the fruits as they are. You're not planning to try them out. So then you would have a chiyuv to be mafrish them before you continue eating, because you have a transaction that's kaveh on the dover shenigmar malachto. However, liktsos poter, if your intention in receiving the fruits was for drying them out, so they are still exempt from needing to be tithed, and you can continue eating achilas aroi. As you can see, that concludes the fourth perek of Maseches Be'ah, and now we continue with the fifth perek, Mashilin Peros Derech Aruba. The Mishnah deals with one who is going to move his fruits from off a rooftop because they had been set on the roof for drying out, and he sees that rain is approaching, and the rain will ruin that which has been set out on the rooftop for drying. So in order to save them, we allow you to move them down through a skylight where the saving of the fruits is accomplished without having to pick them up and shove them down through a window into inside the building. So the Mishnah says, Mashilin peros derech aruba. Mashilin has to do with lowering something down. So you're going to lower down the fruits to get them off the roof through an aruba. Aruba, we would say, is a skylight, an open skylight. So this can be done on Yom Tov, avoloi b'Shabbos. The Chiddush, as far as Yom Tov is concerned, is that you're allowed to do a derech aruba, because it doesn't involve a lot of exertion. You don't have to actually pick up the fruits. You just shove them, or you lower them down. It's strictly a downward movement, down through the skylight. However, this heter of moving the fruits to save you from a hefsid, from a financial loss, we don't allow that on Shabbos. Well, mechasim peros bekelim mei hadelef. You can cover fruits that are under some type of leak. Delef is a drip or a leak. So you can cover the fruits with kalim, with vessels, with cloth, in order to protect them from the leak. V'chein kade yayin v'kade shemen. Likewise, with regard to jugs of wine and jugs of oil, you can cover them if they are positioned under a leak. Rashi says, Delef gishomim hanoitfin minagag. This is rain that drips from the roof. We continue in the Mishnah. V'noisnim kli tachas hadelef b'Shabbos. One can place a vessel underneath the dripping to keep the water from ruining his house. Itmar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Nosson. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have on the side a nosei mivneh heading. We have a structural note that is combined with a nosei, a topic heading. Sidra shel chamesh efshorios eich ligrois mila rishonish mishnosenu. We're going to see five different possibilities of how to, what version we should have for the first word of the Mishnah. Of course, in our version of the Mishnah, the word Mashilin is printed. However, in the time of the Gemara, there were a number of opinions as to what that first word should be. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, you notice the use of different geometric forms. The bow tie is featured, and double underlining is featured. So on the side of the Gemara, the bow tie introduces Rabbonim, Hamavim Makoros. These are Rabbonim that will bring sources, that will cite sources. and the diamond and the double underline, they are used to highlight the words, milim shemashmom horoda, other words that express the idea of lowering something down. So our Mishnah, which clearly speaks about lowering fruits, or grains, Rashi speaks about grains that were set up on the rooftop to dry, so lowering them down through the skylight, what is the word that expresses that? So in the Mishnah we have the word mashilin is printed. However, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nosson in our Gemara, Chad Toni Mashilin, one has as his Mishnah text that which we have, a Chad Toni Mashchilin. It's a different word. And the bow tie, as we said, introduces the rabbis, the Rabbonim, that bring sources. So Omar Morzutra, Man Detoni Mashilin Lo Mishtabesh, Uman Detoni Mashchilin Lo Mishtabesh. He who has as his text the word mashilin is not in error, and he who has as his text the word mashilin is also not in error. They're both acceptable. Man detoni mashilin lo mishtabesh. He who teaches the word mashilin, in other words, the text that we have in our Mishnah, is not in error. Dichtiv, there's a pasuk to back this use of the word as lowering. Ki shal zeisecha. The Pasuk is found in the curses, the Toichicha in Dvarim Perek of Ches Pasuk Mem, and there it speaks about trees, fruit trees, the olive trees, that cast off their fruits prematurely, so that they don't become ripe, and hence the Torah describes a curse, where they lose on the value of their olives. Now, what does Yishal then mean? Casting off or lowering down. The tree casts off the olives that then fall to the floor. Uman detoni mashchilin. He who has as the girsa of our Mishnah the word mashchilin, lo mishtabish, is not in error, disnan. We have a source here that deals with the general topic of blemishes that could afflict animals. That has bearing in terms of a bechor and other examples of korbonus. So a firstborn animal that has any of these deficiencies, hashochul v'akosul, that renders the bechor a non-sacrifice. It's called psula hamikdashim, and you can then slaughter it. The kohen who receives the bechor slaughters it outside and for outside the base mission, eats the meat as a gift given to the kohanim. So it says in this source, Hashochel v'akosel, if an animal has these characteristics, so it's considered the firstborn animal would be considered a Baal Mum. Shochel equals Shenishmita Yerecho. It's an animal whose leg has fallen off. Kosel, She'echad Mirchosiv Goa Mechaverta. Kosel is an animal that where one of its legs is higher than the other on the body of the animal. So say there's an imbalance, a distortion, and that is what renders it a Baal Mum. But what do we see in this source? What's important for us? The word shachul, which we dashed underline in the source, shachul shenishmata yerecho, nishmata means it fell out of place. So shachul or mashchilin has as its root the word shachul. The word mashchilin would be an acceptable first word for the Mishnah. Just like in the realm of the legs, the blemish issue, it refers to a leg that slipped down out of place. So too, mashchilin peros, means you're lowering the fruits down into the house. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchok. And here, three more words that could have been used as the beginning of the Mishnah, all of them having this implication of something being lower down. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, "Man detoni mashirin lo mishtabesh." If the opinion that says mashirin should be the first word of the Mishnah is not in error, Umandetoni mashchirin lo mishtabesh. Umandetoni manshirin lo mishtabesh. What does the Gemara do? It goes through presenting sources for these words, in whose context we should see that it means lowering something down. And if you just scan ahead, you can see the diamonds appear within the next five lines. You'll see three diamonds corresponding to the three suggestions that we just double underline. The Gemara. Mandatoni mashirin lo mishtabesh, disnan, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Nozir, a Nazirite who has vowed not to drink wine or wine products. He's vowed not to cut his hair. So it says in this source, a Nozir lo yochuf roshoy ba'adoma, he shouldn't wash his hair out using dirt. Mipnei shemeshir es haser, causes hair to fall out. Fall, that's a falling downwards, falling out. We dashed underline shemeshir es haser, and this confirms that the word mashirin, you see, is used in the context of having something lowered down. Uman detoni mashchirin lo mishtabesh, who teaches the first word of the Mishnah as being mashchirin, also is not in error. Disnan, hashochor v'hazuv shel saporim, afopi shenechliku tameim. This source deals with laws regarding vessels and their ability to absorb tumah. So it says in this source, hashochor v'hazuv. A zug is a scissors. Shel saporim, of the barbers use. But in the source, we also see the word shochor. Shochor happens to be a, Rashi explains, it's a tar, it's a razor. Rashi that we can look at together is on the second wide line under the Gemara. Ashochor, tar, it's a blade, a razor. Al shem shemashchir es haseyar. It mashchir means it lowers down the hair. Alma loshen hashpodo. So you see that the word shochor or mashchirin indicates lowering something down. Or in our case, it has to do with lowering the fruits down through the skylight. So in this source we see that the shochor, which is a term for razor, and zuk shel saporim is a scissors, even though they have been separated. These vessels are made of two parts. For example, in the case of scissors, you can see very simply, it's two blades that are screwed together, and they function in tandem. However, the source says, even if they were split, shenechliku, or split apart, separated, tameim, they're still subject to kabolas tuma, because each blade of a scissor can be used independently. Therefore, they're subject to kabolas tuma. Uman detoni manshirin lo mishtabesh. Disnan, the word manshirim also implies lowering something down. Where do we see that? The Mishnah says, Misha noshru kelov b'mayim, mahalech bohen v'eino choshesh. That means someone whose clothing fell into water, and it's Shabbos. He can put these clothing on, he can wear them, walk in them, and until they dry out, and he doesn't have to worry. And what does that mean? He doesn't have to worry that people will suspect him of having washed his clothing on Shabbos. But what's the point for us? Why are we quoting this? Because you see that the word noshru, and hence the word manshirin, indicates something that fell off and or lowered downwards. Continuing in the Gemara, inami mehodisnan, as far as the word manshirim, where do we see that it means something lowered down or falling off? Disnan ezu leket. The Torah speaks about different presents or tithes, if you will, that are given to the poor. There are three that are usually grouped together: leket, shikha, and peah. So in this source, once on what is leket? Disnan, ezu leket, hanosher b'shas k'sira. These, it's a reference to sheaves of grain that that fall, they fall out of your hand as you are harvesting. So what's the point for us? The word no share is dashed underlined, and that is this the root of the word manshirim. And you can see that that would be an appropriate first word of our Mishnah, which deals with lowering something down. Just like in the case of leket, it's a sheaf that fell down as you were harvesting. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and some structural notes to tend to. On the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, we've written Kamut HaPerot, the amount of fruit, Shemutur Lohirid, that one is allowed to lower down through the skylight. Va'im Nilmad Mishabas. Can this din be learnt from that which we learn in Masechah Shabbos? That will become clear as we go through the Gemara. So under our Mivneh heading, you can see that we have a house shape, and this is introducing Sidra Shel She'elois Be'inyan Toirach Be'peros, series of questions that have as a common theme exertion for the sake of fruits. We will have this house marking appearing in two opposite directions. So with the tip facing downwards, it features B'Shabbos, Yesh Heter Mishum Bittul Beis HaMedrash. On the Rosh Shabbos, there's a heter for moving fruits from their original place, because otherwise the Talmidim won't have a place to sit during the Shabbos Torah lecture. B'Yom Tov, with the same marking, but the roof facing upwards, the house marking with the top facing upwards, B'Yom Tov Yesh Heter Mishum Hefsid Momon. There is an allowance to move the fruits so as to prevent you from experiencing a financial loss that would take place if they're left in the rain. A double underline is used in the sugya. Ha'im yesh lumoid echad min hasheni. Can I learn one case from the other? In other words, we'll feature as we go along. We saw at the house marking of the tip is facing up. These are cases involving Yom Tov. Can we extrapolate from what we learned by Yom Tov to derive what we shall do on Shabbos, and vice versa? So now we continue, and we'll only be able to cover the first of the cases and questions in the context of today's shiur. You can, if you scan ahead, you can see how the house marking is used, where we number up till four cases where this kind of question is raised. The Gemara, Tanan, Mashilin Peros Derech Haruba B'Yom Tov. We saw that in our Mishnah, that on Yom Tov one is allowed to lower fruits down through a skylight. Ad Kamo, how much? The Mishnah doesn't indicate how much you're allowed to do, and we're basically ruling leniently with regard to Tircha. We allow you to matriach yourself, to exert yourself in order to save the fruits from the rain. The question is, how much? Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Asi, for Amri Law, another version of names, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ke'oisa Sheshanino. As we have learned in the context of Shabbos. So that, what do we have on our hands now? We have an unknown quantity of peros movement, the movement of grains or fruits from off the top of his roof down through a skylight. The Mishnah of concerning Yom Tov says you're allowed to do that, but it doesn't say regarding how many fruits, how much quantity wise. So in order to resolve that, so another source is quoted, this time a source from Maseches Shabbos, that gives us a sense of quantity. So the Rabbi Yochanan is answering, Ka'isa Shanino, as we learned in Maseches Shabbos, Mefanim Arba V'Chomesh Kupos Shel Teven V'Shel Tvua Mitnei Ho'orchim U'Mitnei Bitol Beis HaMedrash. has a, let's say, a room in which he has bales or boxes of straw. So you're allowed to move 4 or 5 kupos of teven being straw, and tvua are grains. Why are you allowed to move these? Mipnei ha'orchim, in order to make room for guests that you invited to come and eat. And if you leave these boxes of grain where they are, there won't be any room for the guests. And mipnei bitul beis hamedrash, that's a reference to making room, moving these things away to make room for the talmidim to sit and listen to a drasha, Torah lecture. So, what are we saying then? We see in Maseches Shabbos the heter of moving arba v'chomesh kupos. Therefore, the feeling is that in the Mishnah, that would be the maximum amount you're allowed to move down through the skylight. The Gemara says, and this is a rejection, it's a long marking, the Dilma Shaini Hasam, maybe there, in the case of Shabbos, it's different, the Iko Bitol Beis HaMedrash. In Masechus Shabbos, the issue concerned making room for people to come to listen to the Torah lecture. So, in order to achieve that ends, we allow the movement of 4 or 5 boxes of straw or grains. Aval Hocha, the Leko Bitol Beis HaMedrash. But regarding the case of our Mishnah, where there isn't an issue, the case of Yom Tov and the quantity of fruits you're allowed to lower down through the skylight is not an issue of Bitul Beis HaMedrash. People don't learn on the roof. And all it is a matter of saving yourself from a financial loss. So we say, that we're not going to allow so much as is allowed in Masechus Shabbos, the Arba V'Chomish Kupos. Inami, another distinction. Hosam, in the case of Shabbos, Hainetayma, the Arba V'Chomish Kupos Shari, the reason we're liberal and allowing the movement of 4 or 5 boxes of Teven and Tvua is because Mishum Shabbos the Chamir of Lo Osi Lizuzi Bay. Shabbos is a day of known stringency. It's Chamur. And therefore, we can afford to we'll say, take our chances and allow you to move these 4 or 5 boxes, and people won't come to treat Shabbos lightly. They won't come to say, oh, since he's allowed to move boxes, this quantity can then do other things that are not Shabbostic. So we're not worried about that. Avol Yom Tov Dekiel, V'Osi L'Zulzulei Bei. However, regarding our Mishnah, which is a Yom Tov Mishnah, Yom Tov is much more lenient than Shabbos. Shabbos is a realm of halacha that subjects someone to a death penalty. Yom Tov, even if there's knowing violation, he doesn't get any more than lashes. So Yom Tov is kal, and it's light in people's eyes. And therefore, it could be that in Shabbos, where you're trying to make room for people to sit, be able to sit and study or listen to a Torah lecture, there we allow 4 or 5, because there's no fear of coming to mezalzel, disparage Shabbos. But Yom Tov, the keel, Yom Tov, which is lenient, which is light, the osul zuzaybei, by allowing the movement of so much, they could come to denigrate Yom Tov, klal lo. So we don't allow anything. We won't allow the quantity that is allowed in Maseches Shabbos. Inami li'idoch gisa. This is a switch in direction of thinking, as will become self-evident. That's why we squiggle underline the inami li'idoch gisa, indicating a change in direction of thought. Hasam hainu taimo, there in the case of Shabbos, that we allow only 4 or 5 boxes, that's the lekha hefsid moment. the case in Shabbos didn't involve someone that is going to experience an imminent financial loss. Aval Hocha, the case of our Mishnah, which features Yom Tov, the Iko Hefsid moment, where the consideration is the impending great financial loss because the circumstances of the Mishnah is someone sees clouds approaching with rain in them. So it's a question of Hefsid moment, of preventing financial loss. Afilu Tuvonami, we would allow even more than just four or five boxfuls that we saw were allowed with regard to Shabbos. So we are, according to this approach, our Mishnah, which is not talking about Shabbos, is talking about preventing a financial loss of, and it's on Yom Tov, so there we would allow more meaning more than four or five kupos, which was cited in the Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara, which we're not going to continue with, but you can note it on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, again starts off with a case, and you see an inverted house marking there at the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. That's a reference to a Shabbos halacha. And three lines afterwards, you see the double underline Hochomai. Well, what is the din with regard to Yom Tov? So that Mirtz Hashem will be the subject of our next year. Before we conclude, though, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.